Good morning. Today we are studying in the book of Revelation, and this is part three of our study. And our lesson today is lesson number 9. And the topic or the subject of our lesson is God's promises to Israel. So we will begin our study as we always do, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for your Holy Spirit, for your love for your people, for all believers, and all that will receive Jesus. Father, we thank you now for this opportunity to study your word together, and I pray the Holy Spirit will teach, guide, direct, and give us the knowledge and the wisdom to understand your truth, that we may live it out to glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So today, we're going to look in the book of Ezekiel, how that we see all the way back in the Old Testament that God made promises to his people, and he never broke those promises. Now, quickly, let's look at Revelation chapter 6 through 20 and just see what the main events of these chapters were. We saw that it was about the seven seals that was given to the Lamb because he was the only one worthy to open. It was about the seven trumpets that were sounded by the seven angels. And at the seventh trumpet, we learned that a beast is revealed and rules the world for 3.5 years. And we know that was the Antichrist. And then there were seven bowls of God's wrath poured out upon the earth. And at the end of tribulation, Jesus comes to the earth and reigns 1,000 years. And then heaven and earth pass away, and the dead are judged. And these are the unbelievers, and after the judgment, they're thrown into the lake of fire. Now, we also studied in Matthew 24, 25, and Luke 21. So, what did we learn from those chapters? Jesus said that there would be a great tribulation immediately before his coming, and the abomination of desolation will indicate the beginning of the tribulation, and it would focus on Jerusalem and Israel. Then we studied in the book of Romans, comparing what was spoken by Jesus in Matthew and Luke. And in Romans, we studied, as Paul wrote, that there's going to be a partial hardening of Israel now, but all Israel will be saved. And then we learn that the deliverer, who is Jesus, will come from Zion and remove all ungodliness. Now, today we want to see all the promises that God made to Israel. And we wanted to see how that this relates to Israel, these promises. And we'll start in Genesis and in chapter 13, verses 14 through 18. And this is where we see the beginning of God's promises. Verse 14, the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, Now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give to you and to your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Arise, walk about the land through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you. And then Abram moved his tent and came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. So here we see in these verses that God promised to give to Abram and his descendants the land where he lived forever. Now then, let's go on and look at another promise that we see. When Abram, whose name was changed to Abraham later, these promises are in Genesis 17, 1 through 21. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generation, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said further to Abraham, Now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, and you and your descendants after you throughout their generation. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in your flesh and foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. And then going to verse 15, God said to Abraham, As for Sarah, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her. And indeed, I will give you a son by her, and then I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. And then, as we look into those verses, we see that God changed Abraham's name. And I'm not going to read the 17 through 21, but here God had made in these verses a covenant with Abraham. Let's look at the promises or the covenant that God made. He made him a father of many nations, a covenant with his descendants, to be God to them, to give them the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. Circumcision was the sign of the covenant, and to give Abraham a son, Isaac, through Sarah, and the covenant established through Isaac, not Ishmael. So this is the beginning of the promises. So let's look a little bit further into Genesis, and then we'll go to another scripture in the Old Testament where God made his promises. Looking at Genesis 48, 1 through 4. Now it came about after these things that Joseph was told, Behold, your father is sick. So he took his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, with him. And when it was told to Jacob, "Behold, your son Joseph has come to you." Israel collected his strength. Now this is Jacob. And sat up in bed. And then Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me, excuse me, at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And he said to me, 'Behold, I will make you fruitful and numerous, and I will make you a company of peoples, and will give this land to you, to your descendants for an everlasting possession.'" So here we see the covenant promises were confirmed to Jacob, of course, whose name was changed to Israel, and it was confirmed to him and his descendants in the future. Now, let's go to Exodus, and let's see what the promises are here. In Exodus 32:9-14, we see some more promises that God made to Moses. Starting with verse 9, the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people. Now then, let me alone, that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them, and I will make of you a great nation." And then, of course, Moses spoke up to the Lord in verse 11. Then Moses entreated the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your anger burn against your people, whom you have brought out from the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak, saying, 'With evil intent he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and destroy them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your burning anger and change your mind about doing harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, your servants, to whom you swore by yourself and said to them, 'I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens, and all this land of which I have spoken I will give you, your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' So the Lord changed his mind about the harm which he said he would do to the people." So we see here God's covenant promises kept him from destroying the people of Israel when he was angry with them. He remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, or Jacob. And the promises restated by Moses were to multiply the descendants and to give them the land forever. Now, we're studying about the promises that God made to Israel. And he made these by making a covenant with them. A covenant was a guarantee of the promise between two or more. And he made this between himself and the descendants of Israel. Now, we're looking here in the next study is in the book of Deuteronomy. So you see all of these promises or covenants were made in the Old Testament to Israel. And throughout his word, he always kept the promises. He said, in making these promises, if they would love him, if they would keep his commandments and follow after him. But we know that when they broke these promises, God brought destruction and wrath upon the people. So here, let's see what happens when they disobeyed God in the book of Deuteronomy. And I'm looking at some of the destructions that were brought in the book of Deuteronomy. And those destructions, and I'm not reading those at this time, but I'm going to point them out to you in Deuteronomy 28, verses 58 through 68. We see that he brought disease. He reduced the people to few in number. They were torn from their land. They were scattered from one end of the earth to the other. And they had no rest because of the despair that was among them. And they were in a very insecure time of life. And they had to become slaves to those that had captured them. Now, in Deuteronomy 30, 1 through 10, we learned that the curses, when Israel returned to the Lord with their whole heart, then the Lord would restore them from captivity and return them to the land. And we know that took place. And then the curses will be on their enemies. And this scripture in Deuteronomy 31 through 10 relates to the time when Israel will be saved. That is in the future, in the end times. Now let's look at Jeremiah. And I want us to look at some verses here in Jeremiah. And here in verse 15 of the 7th chapter of Jeremiah, we see, let me read this verse. This is Jeremiah 7:15. I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brothers, all the offspring of Ephraim. So what he was talking about at this time, Jeremiah the prophet prophesied just before and during the Babylonian captivity. And verse 15 summarizes the message to the people. They were being cast out of God's sight for their disobedience. And the Lord poured out his wrath on Jerusalem, and he destroyed it because they were taken by the Babylonians. And they didn't listen to God's word, but they worshiped idols instead of worshiping him. And so the promised land became a waste. And when the Lord promised in Deuteronomy what he promised them there, took place because Israel didn't obey the Lord. All of these disease and disasters that he spoke to them was because they didn't keep his promise. Now let's go further and look at verses 1 through 14 of Jeremiah, because we want to see exactly what is taking place here. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah who enter into these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. And do not trust in deceptive words, saying, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly practice justice between a man and his neighbor, and if you do not oppose the alien, the orphan, the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, nor walk after other gods, to your own ruin, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. So here, Jeremiah spoke the Lord's word for 23 years, but they didn't listen. So he sent Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, to destroy Jerusalem and Judah. And the people served the king of Babylon for 70 years. And then the Lord punished Babylon because the Medes and the Persians conquered them. In that 13th verse, which I haven't read yet, let me read 13 and 14 of Jeremiah 7. And now, because you have done these things, declares the Lord, and I spoke to you, rising up early and speaking, but you did not hear, and I called you, but you did not answer. Therefore, I will do to the house which is called by my name, in which you trust, and to the place which I gave to you and your fathers, as I did to Shiloh. So here we see that the people were punished. God did let the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, come in and destroy Jerusalem and Judah. And now we want to see Ezekiel's prophecy from Babylon during the captivity. And we find this in chapter 43 of Ezekiel, verses 6 through 9. Now, this is all about Israel. This is all about the promises that God made. But God said to them in all of his promises that if they will keep his commandments and worship only him, that he would give them these promises. So let's look at these verses in chapter 43, 6 through 9. Then I heard one speaking to me, this was Ezekiel, from the house while a man was standing beside me, and he said to me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell among the sons of Israel forever. And the house of Israel will not again defile my holy name, neither they nor their kings by their harlotry and by the courts of the kings when they die, by setting their threshold by my threshold and their doorposts beside my doorposts, with only the wall between me and them. And they have defiled my holy name by their abominations which they have committed. So I have consumed them in my anger. Now let them put away their harlotry and the corpses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell among them forever. So in verses 1 through 5 that we didn't read, it spoke of the Lord's throne being in his temple. And at a point of time, he will dwell forever among Israel. This will be in the future. And Israel then will never again defile his holy name by worshiping idols. So, when do you think that these promises were to be fulfilled? After the return from Babylon, in the future, or both? Now, let's look at some more scripture in Ezekiel 1 through 15. And we'll see some more things that is promised to the land of Israel, to the people. And you, son of man, this is Ezekiel 36:1-15. And you, son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, O mountain of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because the enemy has spoken against you, aha, and the everlasting heights have become our possession. Therefore prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, for good reason they have made you desolate and crushed you from every side, that you would become a possession of the rest of the nations, and you have been taken up in the talk and whispering of the people. Therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains and to the hills, to the ravines, to the valleys, to the desolate places, and to the forsaken cities, which have become a prey and a derision to the rest of the nations which are round about. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy I have spoken against the rest of the nations and against all Edom, who appropriated my land for themselves as a possession with wholehearted joy and with scorn of soul to drive it out for a prey. Therefore prophesy concerning the land of Israel and say to the mountains and to the hills, to the ravines and to the valleys, thus says the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my wrath because you have endured the insults of the nations. Therefore saith the Lord God, I have sworn that surely the nations which are around you will themselves endure their insults. But you, O mountains of Israel, you will put forth your branches and bear your fruit for my people Israel, for they will soon come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you will be cultivated and sown, and I will multiply men on you, all the house of Israel, all of it, and the cities will be inhabited, and the waste places will be rebuilt. I will multiply on you man and beast, and they will increase and be fruitful, and I will cause you to be inhabited as you were formerly, and will treat you better than at the first. Thus you will know that I am the Lord. Yes, I will cause men, my people Israel, to walk on you and possess you, so that you will become their inheritance, and never again bereave them of children. Thus says the Lord God, because they say to you, you are a devourer of men and have bereaved your nation of children. Therefore, you will no longer devour men and no longer bereave your nation of children, declares the Lord. I will not let you hear insults from the nations anymore, nor will you bear disgrace from the peoples any longer, nor will you cause your nation to stumble any longer, says the Lord God. Now, verses 1 through 15 are spoken to the mountains, the hills, the ravines, the valleys, and the cities of Israel. They were desolate because they were possessed by foreign nations, by Gentiles. And then verses 6 and 7 mentions the insults from the nations around Israel. And then verse 8 begins the promises. The land will bear fruit for the people to return to God, and God will multiply man and beast of the land. And according to 12 through 15, has this been fulfilled? Let's read on and study and see in the verses that are ahead to see if it has been fulfilled. Let's look at verses 18 through 21. Therefore I poured out my wrath on them with the blood which they had shed on the land, because They defiled it with their idols. Also, I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed among the lands. According to their ways and their deeds, I judged them. And when they came to the nations where they went, they profaned my holy name, because it was said of them, "These are the people of the Lord, yet they have come out of his land." But I have concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel has profaned among the nations where they went. So here we see that God judges Israel for the adultery, and he scatters the people among the nation. And while they're scattered, the Lord's name is profaned. Now let's look at verses 22 through 38, and we're going to see what these verses are about, because in these verses we see some of the promises again. "Therefore say to the house of Israel," this is starting with verse 22, "Thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. And I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and all your idols. And moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers. So you will be my people, and I will be your God. Moreover, I will save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the grain and multiply it, and will not bring a famine upon you. I will multiply the fruit of the trees and produce the fields, so that you will not receive again the disgrace of famine among the nations. And then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds, that they were not good. And you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abomination. I am not doing this for your sake, declares the Lord God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited and the waste place to be rebuilt. The desolate land will be cultivated instead of being desolate in the sight of everyone who passes by. They will say, this desolate land has become the Garden of Eden, and the waste, desolate, ruined cities are fortified and inhabited. And then the nations that are left round about you will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it. Thus says the Lord God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them, and I will increase their men like the flock for sacrifices, like the flock at Jerusalem during her appointed feast. So will the waste cities be filled with flocks of men. Then they will know that I am the Lord. So what are these verses about? God is saying here that he will vindicate the holiness of his name, and then all the other nations will know that he is God. And he'll take Israel from the nations and bring them to the land. And he'll cleanse Israel, giving them a heart, a new heart, and a spirit within them. And we know that he brought them back that has been fulfilled, that he's brought his people back, and Israel has become a nation again in May 14th of 1948. And it says the land will be like the Garden of Eden, and the cities will be filled with flocks of men, and Israel will know that he is God. So all of this has taken place, and in May, as I said earlier, of 1948, the much of the land that was barren has been restored, and they're still restoring it. And the Jordan Valley is now irrigated, and there's much fruit growing in the land. But yet, they're not a clean people who recognize their God. And let's read a little bit more scripture here in Ezekiel chapter 37. We know that they have not all received him. There's still many of the Jews today that have rejected him, rejected Jesus as the Messiah, that he came and died, was crucified, and was buried and rose again the third day. So I'm just going to read a few scriptures here, and then I will talk about the rest of the scriptures, because time doesn't permit us to be able to read the entire chapter of Ezekiel 37. But look at what the first part of the chapter says in verses 1 through 10. Remember, this is Ezekiel the prophet, and the Lord is upon him. And in verse 1, it says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He causes me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were dry, very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' And again he said to me, 'Prophesy over the bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life, and I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, and there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly army." So here we see that these dry bones represent the nation of Israel, and the Lord will bring them to life again. He's going to bring the nation of Israel to life, and that's what we have been studying about, his promises. And even flesh and sinews are on these, and the slain breathe, and it becomes a great army. Now, this prophecy of hope is given to Judah at the time of their captivity, when everything seemed to be lost. And so then we see some more promises that he makes to them through the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 37, verses 11 through 14. And then he, God, said to me, Ezekiel, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope have perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring your graves, will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come out of your graves, my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land, and then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. Now, this is promises, just as he has made in Ezekiel 36. He's promised them a return to their land, and that God, his spirit, he would put within him, and that they would know and recognize that he is their God. Now, in verses 15 through 23, here in these verses, we learn that Israel and Judah will be one nation again. Now, Israel, remember at one time, the nation of Israel was divided. There was the northern Israel that included 10 tribes, and then there was Israel and Benjamin that was the southern part of Israel when they were divided. And so he is saying in these verses to Ezekiel, this is prophesied now before Christ had come. The words were given to Ezekiel the prophet, and he said that you know that they'll be captive, but then he says that Israel and Judah will again be one nation. He says, behold, I will, let's look at verse 21. Say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land, and will make them one nation. And that's what he's going to do, bring them back together as one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel, and one king will be king over them, and they'll no longer be two nations and no longer be divided into two kingdoms. And then in verse 23, he said they'll no longer defile themselves with idols or with their detestable things or with any of their transgressions, but I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. So, Israel and Judah will be one nation again. And Israel was taken captive, that was the northern part, by Assyria in 722 BC, and Judah by Babylon in 605 BC. So, continuing in the book of Ezekiel 37, we see the servant David is going to be king over the entire Israel. Let's read verses 24 through 28. My servant David will be king over them, and they will have one shepherd, and they will walk in my ordinances and keep my statutes and observe them. They will live on the land that I gave to Jacob, my servant, in which your fathers lived, and they will live on it, and their sons' sons. Moreover, and David my servant will be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them and set my sanctuary in their midst forever. My dwelling place also will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in the midst of them. So when the Lord brings them to their land as one nation, they will live there, he says, forever. And David will be their king. It says David will be their prince forever. They'll have him as king. And God will make a covenant of peace with them. And his sanctuary will be in their midst. And he'll be their God. And they'll be his people. So all the nations will know that he, the Lord, sanctifies Israel. And this is a comparison with the time of Jesus' second coming and his millennial reign, the 1,000-year reign upon the earth. Now, none of the promises of God to Israel have failed. All of these promises have been fulfilled. And if Israel's partial rejection means salvation for the Gentiles, what will their acceptance mean? It means that all Israel will be saved, as we've studied in the book of Romans and all of these great prophecies that were made in the Old Testament. So, as we have studied today, we see the promises that was made to Israel. He would multiply their descendants, which he has done. They would have their land forever, and they have received their land back in May of 1948. He would be their God. He is still their God. And he made this covenant with their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But if they disobey him, then his wrath would come upon them. But if they return with their whole heart, then his spirit would fill them. He would take out their heart that was hardened of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh, and they would live on their land securely. So we know today that these things God had promised them have been fulfilled. And in the future, all Israel will be saved. So we will continue then in our study next week, and we're going to see what this future promise is for Israel as we study in Lesson 10. So let us close today's lesson and in prayer and continue to pray for God's guidance. Heavenly Father, we do ask that you open up our understanding and give us the knowledge and wisdom of what we have seen and studied, to know that you are a God that keeps your covenant promises. You have never broken your promises, and you never will. All of your promises are irrevocable. They never change, because you never change. You are God without beginning and without end. And you are worthy, Father, to be praised. So we do give you all the honor, glory, and praise. And I pray, Heavenly Father, for those that are not ready for the future coming of Jesus, because your word teaches us that he is coming. That was one of the promises that he made to the disciples when he went away. And we know that it's soon, very soon. And I pray, Father, for all those that have never believed, I pray that your Holy Spirit, through your word, will convict and draw many, that they will be saved, Father, and that they won't have to endure the coming wrath that will be upon those that do not believe and accept Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your great salvation. Thank you for Jesus and his promises. Thank you for his precious blood that he shed for us on Calvary, that covered our sins, that we might have eternal life. And I ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen.